The city of Philadelphia was founded in 1682 by William Penn, along with a group of Quakers and others seeking religious freedom. Were there Catholics among them?
There were a very few number of Catholics among them. But we do know that they were here because we know that there were some Jesuit circuit riders, as they're called, who would come up from Maryland to minister to them. We don't really know exactly where they worshipped, but we assume it was in private homes. We learn a little bit about them from people who were afraid that they were here and not very happy that they were here and saying, you know, I heard a rumor that there's been a mass said somewhere around 2nd and Chestnut and that kind of thing. But we don't have a critical mass at all.
Catholics were often referred to by the term papists, and which was not meant in a respectful way. Could you get into that for us?
One of the great fears that anti-Catholics had in the colonial period and all the way through to the present, many would say, is that Catholics would always listen to a foreign leader, that they would always be beholden to the Pope in Rome, and so that they would never really truly understand the American experiment and American democracy, and that they would at best sort of be torn between answering to the American presidency and American and local leadership, and answering to Rome.
Tensions between Catholics and Protestants grew and became increasingly heated until they exploded in the Philadelphia Bible riots of the early 1840s. Tell us about the riots.
Yeah, the Bible riots were the largest urban violent event in American history up to their point. What had happened was public institutions, and especially the public school system, was using the King James Version of the Bible, which was the authorized Protestant version, and not the authorized Catholic version of the Bible. But until there was a critical mass of Catholics, there wasn't really anybody who was going to complain about this. But starting in the 1830s, certainly, and into the 1840s, there's more and more Catholics, and all of a sudden they're saying, we don't want our children to be reading what we are told we're not supposed to read as good Catholics. And so the Bishop of Philadelphia, Bishop Kenrick, makes a request to the school board and says, can Catholic students either be excused from any kind of activity that uses a King James Bible, or could they possibly bring their own? And the school board says, they can bring another Bible. They just can't bring a Bible with any notes or comments, is what they said, which meant that it effectively disqualified the Catholic Bible, of course, because that had the Catholic interpretation of various verses and biblical passages. It became very heated in the context of a lot of anti-Catholicism. And so the sort of story on the street and the way that it got sort of transmitted between political institutions and people who were ideologically either suspicious of or out and out against Catholics came to believe that this was because Catholics hated the Bible. The end result was two Catholic churches being burned to the ground, the damage of a significant number of blocks throughout Kensington. The property damage was upwards of $250,000. Somewhere around 30 Catholics were killed.
And then in the mid to late 19th century and the early 20th century, you had the immigration boom. Who began pouring into the city and why?
Well, immediately after the riots, the largest group that's going to come in are the Irish from the Irish famine. So although there were a significant amount of Irish Catholics already, so Irish made up maybe a third, 25% or a third of the Catholic community pre-riots, but after that, we're going to get tens of thousands, 80,000 Irish Catholics perhaps come into Philadelphia during the famine years. And then immediately following them, a generation later, we're going to get first Northern Italians and then Southern Italians and Poles and other Eastern Europeans.
And again, predominantly Catholic populations?
Predominantly Catholic populations still, yes. When all of a sudden you start to have Catholics who don't speak English, the fact that they're going to stay in these homogenous enclaves speaking their own language, it's going to become a little bit of a question mark for that assimilation process for folks in the hierarchy.
In the early 20th century, Catholics were emerging as national leaders. In 1928, Al Smith became the first Catholic nominated by a major political party for president, Democrat. But anti-Catholic rhetoric ramped up as opponents said Smith would take orders directly from the Pope. So was that a widely held belief that Catholics in America would simply be agents of the Vatican?
We see that all the way throughout Catholic history. And the Al Smith example is very good. You know, in some ways it was because there was a large Catholic population in a place like Philadelphia that was not the case in many areas in the country. So Al Smith being, you know, the sort of first national figure that's on the radar in that national sense, then it became part of the national conversation. This, who are these people? Are they American? What are they doing here? Who are they taking their marching orders from?